how customized do your training programs need to be as an online coach? This often comes from people who are personal trainers, where realistically anyone could walk through the door tomorrow and you've got to be able to make a program for them. You know, it could be Doris, who's got osteoporosis and she's got a bit of a dodgy knee and she's just getting into kind of strengthening her structures. Or it could be Alan, who's 25, been training for 5 years, wants to get his deadlift from 280 to 300. So because of that, you can often end up with this sense of overwhelm when you start something online. Luckily, we've got a very relaxing solution for you today.
Can you see me clearly or not? Am I one pixel?
No.
Or am I two?
We've got one pixel again. We've got the BBC correspondent delay.
Fantastic.
Yusuf, I'm here in Iraq and there's some bombs going off in the background, but I'm okay.
And then mid-question saying, yes, yes, absolutely. I was just going to say that effect creates the... So having multiple clients and like multiple different buckets of client creates the misconception that firstly, that's what online coaching is like at scale. And secondly, that what you kind of miss out on is that if you had just Alan, like loads of versions of Alan, actually the programs would start to look quite similar. And yeah, they would still be customized, but you could probably get away with if you had 30 Alans in the gym and they were all guys in their 20s wanting to add to their deadlift. And I'm not saying you should, but you could probably give them all exactly the same program and they would probably all make quite a bit of progress, aside from the person who's like got a shoulder injury or, you know, got a specific, like needs a very bespoke customization to it.
So the cool part of this is that when you're working online, you can have the equivalent of a gym full of 30 Alans. Like you can't really do that if you live in Barnsley and there's only two Alans that live within that radius. So what ends up happening is you've got the online equivalent of a gym full of 30 Alans and you become amazing at getting Alan's deadlift from 280 to 300. You've got loads of people with that exact circumstance. You become a specialist at solving a specific problem for a specific person in a specific way. Sounds familiar. So what ends up happening is you become the go-to person for that. So not only are you then better equipped to get Alan a great result and generate more testimonials, but you also become the go-to person and therefore you get more sales. And so the whole system just gains traction and it becomes this virtuous cycle.
I honestly think it delivers a better service as well. So if your programming is you kind of like sitting and thinking about it and writing something from the very beginning each time, that relies entirely on you getting it right each time. It relies on you not making any mistakes. It relies on you like having the right resources to hand. It relies on you not forgetting to upload one of the 4 days in the program. Whereas if you have a template that is like, this is Alan's program and I'm going to make the odd change to it and then send this out to this new client, it means that they are getting a very kind of dependable service and what you're doing is very repeatable.
Yes, Jonathan, the political instability is reaching tipping point at the moment, but we'll see what the ambassador says by Tuesday. So yeah, this is really where the bucket system starts to really come into play, because then you've got the base template, as Johnny says, that solves the core problem for the core group of people. And then as you start to get variants of Alan, you might get Alan Turbo, Alan 2.0, Alan spelt with an A, spelt with an E. You know, you get all these different slight variants of Alan, but you become the Alan specialist. And then you can start running ads that says, I help Alans to increase their deadlift by 20 kilos in 4 weeks.
Yeah. And it's better for the customer. It's easier for you. You can build a library of programs that you can reuse and do like 2 minutes of customization with and then send out. So it saves time for everybody. It delivers a more standardized service. So it's basically the need for... Or I guess like when we speak to someone and they say, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. Like I have to do completely bespoke programming in my online coaching. That's generally because they've reached this sort of low level of scale, what we refer to as no man's land. So you've got like 2 to 10 clients online. They've all come from people you used to work with face-to-face, people who follow you on Instagram, and they've signed up for a service and they're all different. They're all completely different because it's just a symptom of kind of your network. And they're all working with you one-to-one and they do all probably need something very different. And when you think of, well, what would this business look like if I scaled it to 50 clients, you imagine that, but at 50 clients. So you imagine that with loads of one-to-one calls, loads of one-to-one adjustments, programs that are different every time. But most people can't get to 50 clients using that approach. So to get to 50 clients, you actually need to change the marketing and change the selling. And then that becomes more specific. And then you're attracting a more specific person. So you can have a more standardized approach with the coaching that saves time, delivers a more consistent service. So it's kind of a symptom of itself a lot of the time that needs to be fixed at source. And then you can benefit from this like coaching model that's way more enjoyable to run.
Well, in scenario one there, somebody who is just working with this hodgepodge of loads of different people, really, if you were to try and scale that, why would someone hire you? Because they might be like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm quite the right person for this coach. Like if they see another ad and that person who's looking at the ads is called Alan, for example, and they see that and they go, oh, okay, like this is exactly what I need. Then they're not going to hire you because Alan is only one of the 30 types of people that they work with. So Johnny mentioned a great example just before this of the GP and the neurosurgeon. So let's say you've got this absolute beast of a GP who has also done some surgery and, you know, he's done a couple of spinal surgeries, done a couple of craniotomies and open brain stuff and all this stuff, but he's also a GP and he kind of does all sorts all the time. Then you've got this like super specialist German brain surgeon called Gunther, and he's like only does sciatica surgery. He like only operates on like the S1 nerve root, and he's a super specialist, does these day in, day out. That's his bread and butter. Of course, you would go to him if you've got sciatica. So even if someone can do it, people will always go for the person that they know can solve their problem more reliably in a specific way.
Yeah, and that this whole thing like helps all aspects of the business. Your market is scrolling through Instagram one evening. They're like struggling with their latest, like whatever, Atkins diet. And they see an ad written by you that makes them think like, God, like that's like a, I was literally thinking about that just before. And it's almost like they've read my mind. You can't give that effect to two different client types with the same ad, right? So the ad has to speak to a person. So because your product and your programming is a solution for a person, certain person, that means your sales sequence and then your ad copy and then your targeting can also be at that person, which means that the person who sat there scrolling, struggling with Atkins will pay you attention rather than some like general influencer who's marketing to everyone. So the whole thing is actually by simply standardizing your coaching and saving yourself time, your marketing works better because you become the go-to, like you are the surgeon for that person. You are the specialist, the consultant, the person that all their friends talk about for that problem, rather than like expecting someone who's like a generalist to help you, right? Which is what most big brands do have a general offer because they can afford to, because they're going to make sales no matter what they do. So they just try and help everyone because they can. They're trying to serve as much of the market as they possibly can. As the sort of the small coach starting out, trying to go up against these brands, we need to have a competitive advantage against them. And the way that we do that is we offer something more specific. We offer like the drill bit to the problem rather than the rocket launcher.
The sander. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's much easier to be the drill bit. And, you know, I'm sure you're an amazing coach. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you'd be able to handle all those people. But it's just, how do you get a footing in the market? And also, like, I do know of a GP who I won't name, who wanted to do a bit of a Del Boy and just try his hand in everything. And he started doing private eyelid surgery on someone who he basically did like a 2-day course compared to obviously the years of surgical training that plastic surgeons do. And he completely botched it, but because he wasn't a member of the Royal College of Surgeons, he didn't have anything to be struck off from. And it was all a bit of a mess. So I don't know what the moral of that story is.
What would happen to me if I did, like if I did eyelid surgery on somebody and they were happy to have the eyelid surgery? Is that like a crime if I made a mess of it?
There's got to be a law around practicing medicine without a license, isn't there? But then like there's no professional body for you to be struck off from, is there? So it probably just becomes immediately criminal. But then as you say, like if the person is consenting,
I guess like surely how would it ever reach anything? Like if that person then ended up in A&E and the doctor's like, someone has clearly attempted to do eyelid surgery on you here. Who was it? I didn't say, oh, it was just my mate. He's not a surgeon, but he said he could help. Do they have to like send the medical police round and arrest me?
With the special orange jackets and stuff. Yeah.
They would have orange jackets on, wouldn't they?
Have you seen Barrier Man?
Mm.
I'll get a picture of Barrier Man. It's when there's an event on and they have the metal barrier and they usually have a guy who's manning the barrier with Barrier Man written on his back. And people, it's obviously like a company that organizes the Barrier Man, but people have started memeing it and just being like, oh, it's the world's shittest superhero. Like, hey. So I'll get a picture of that. The other thing you mentioned just about this thing before we wrap up was that Bryce Lewis did a survey or a test of this where he kind of, was it that he double blinded two groups of people, gave one of them what he said was a customized program, and it wasn't, it was just standard. And then the other group, he told them it was standardized.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, I don't know the exact details. We can link to the video of him talking about it. But he was basically saying that like there's a group of powerlifters, and the reason why it's such an interesting case study is because when you think of strength sports and powerlifting, you often immediately think, oh, well, that's an example of something that would definitely need to be customized. Like you've got all these people with different training experiences and different maxes and different like volume requirements and all these sorts of things. But he basically concluded that there was no difference in whether something had been completely bespokely written for the athlete or whether they'd just been given like one of Bryce's templates, and that the thing that determined the shocker, the thing that determined the result was just volume. So if you had two templates and they were volume equated and you had someone who thought it was custom and someone who didn't know, then it made no difference.
The p-value was very high comparing powerlifting totals between the two groups, and there was no significant difference in strength between the two groups. One group believing they were receiving custom coaching and one group who were receiving just a templated approach and asked to check in on a weekly basis. Did I complete the approach? Yes. On to the next week. Yes. On to the next week. Between those two groups, there was no statistical difference in strength increase.
So that's like in terms of what you do about that, I don't know. Like we're not advocating. And I think what people misinterpret with this message from us is that we think you should just give everybody a cookie cutter plan. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that you could arrive at the same outcome by either writing it from scratch or having a template for a specific person. Like there is nothing magical about writing something from zero. Like the only reason why you have to write something from the very beginning is because you're ill prepared, really, or because your marketing's all over the place. So by saying like, oh, I can't do standardized coaching is just saying, really, my marketing isn't specific. Like my message won't work with ads. That's what I hear anyway. I don't hear like, oh yeah, you have the secret formula for this person that can't be standardized or turned into a system. I hear ads won't work. So
we've concluded that this is a marketing problem and it feeds back into your marketing too. So the better you get becoming a specialist, the more clients you're going to get, and the better your programs become, the better results you can get, the better testimonials you generate, all that stuff. Now, something that's worth mentioning at this point is people will get in their own way, usually before even starting to get their first clients, by worrying about all the intricacies of like, oh, but what if I have someone that has this? And what if I work with men between 30 and 35? What if I have someone who's 40? And what if my Google Sheet doesn't account for that? Like, this is all anticipating problems that are not yet problems. And I guarantee you'll be able to handle them when they get there. So just remember, don't get too caught up with the coaching delivery stuff when you've got zero clients, because it's a really easy and safe way to procrastinate and stay in your little safe bubble. But what's going to actually move the needle is getting new clients into your program. So just keep the main thing.
Yeah, making a spreadsheet better. And this is said for us as someone who likes to fiddle around with these things and make better resources and make better tracking sheets and all that sort of thing. It won't change your client numbers. It won't change your revenue. It won't really do anything unless you're making a very specific tweak for a situation. So like, if the last three people who enrolled had this happen or like had this question or wanted this adjustment, so I'm going to change the templates that I have in my library. I'm going to change like some of the resources I have so that when that comes up again, I'm ready for it. That's a really good use of time, but it's reacting to sales that are coming in rather than like guessing for all the possible outcomes that all the people who sign up with you might have, but also might never have. So you're just wasting your time. really. It's good to be ready for it.
We've seen people sink months into doing this, like creating this really sophisticated set of spreadsheets and all that. And you're like, okay, cool. Like, how many clients are you using this with? Oh, well, I haven't got any clients yet. Like, how do you know they even want that? Your clients are your best teacher, and it's their feedback that's going to inform the best program and help you to create the best offer for them. So just get people in the door as soon as possible.